everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Energy Technical Advisory Committee on March 25th, 2020. First, I want to talk a little bit about teleconference participation. Those of you who are using the GoToMeeting function, there's a control panel and there's a microphone off to the left of it. If it's green, it means you're on. If it's red, it's off. It works best if you keep it off mostly, except when you need to talk. That prevents background sound. Same with those of you who are on cell phones or landlines. If you could mute your phones but not put them on hold, that would be helpful. Be aware of background noises, etc. Please wait till you're invited to speak. I'll stack a list of names on each issue, explain the process, and make sure everybody has their chance to speak at the right time. Please state your name each time you speak, and TAC members, of course, state your name when you make motions and seconds, as well as when you speak. That's the process. Let's determine that we have a quorum. Commissioner Smith, Drew?
Present.
Very good. Commissioner Smith-Burke?
I'm here.
Commissioner Kaya? Getting a little feedback loop going. Bob Cushell?
Here.
Don Geislers?
Here.
So we're picking up some background noise. If after you respond, you would mute your phone. Tim Grabowski?
Here.
Jonathan Parks? Scott Rank?
Here.
Roger Sanders? David Worsiak? All right, well, we have six. That's what's needed for a quorum. Let me check once more on those who didn't respond to their initial roll call. Oscar Paya, Jonathan Parks, Roger Sanders, and David Wozniak. Okay, well, we do have a quorum, so we can start. So those, let's talk about the staff on the line. If you're not, I believe we should have Tom Campbell, Mo Madarni, Justin Vogler, Norman Bellamy, Chris Howell, Jim Hammers, and potentially Marlita Peters, maybe. I don't see the name there, but
I'm here. Okay, I'm here.
Good. So that's who we have in Tallahassee, each in their own office, maintaining the social distances for our safety and health. Hope everybody's doing well and working in place. Okay, so the first order of business is to approve the agenda. Today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the 1/24 meeting and then to provide the Florida Building Commission with recommendations on the 7 comments that were received relative to the energy code. And I'll explain that process later. And that's basically the business. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
So moved.
Hey, this is Oscar.
All right, so Oscar's on the call. So let's... It was a little difficult. Who made the motion?
Cushell.
Bob Cushell. Who made the second?
Geisler.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, it's unanimous on a 7-0 vote. Have any other TAC members joined, either Jonathan, Roger, or David? All right. The minutes for the last EnergyTAC meeting, the January 24th, 2020 meeting minutes, were posted to the agenda in advance of the meeting. Does anybody have any revisions or corrections? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes as posted?
Minutes as posted, nice. Approved. Cushell.
All right, we have Cushell and Geislers. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, so we're going to move right into the substantive business. Of providing the commission with your recommendations on the 7 comments. The process will be the same as last time. I'll introduce each comment in turn. I'll allow the proponent 3 minutes. Anybody else that wishes to speak in favor can have 3 minutes, or they could just say they support it, as we've been doing very efficiently throughout the process. I'll ask if anybody's in opposition, 3 minutes for them. Anybody else who wishes to speak in opposition will have the same, but just saying that they aren't for it will work just as well. If there are pros and cons, there's one collective opportunity of 2 minutes for the proponent and for the opponent to have a rebuttal. Come back to the TAC. I'll ask if any TAC member wishes to make a motion. If there's no motion, that'll be considered an NAR. If there's a motion and a second, we'll take the vote. If it achieves the 67%, it'll be considered a favorable recommendation to the commission. If not, then it would be also considered an NAR where the TAC is recommending the commission not approve it. That's pretty much it. I think we've done this a few times. Does anybody have any questions on the process, TAC members? All right. Drew, before we get started, do you want to say anything?
Hello, can you hear me? This is Roger Sanders. I've been on for the last 5 minutes, and that's not, you couldn't hear me through the computer.
Well, you probably had, so on the computer, you need to, there's a mute function. The default is always muted, so you have to click the microphone. That will unmute you.
I see. Okay. Well, would you, I'll just stay on the phone for now, and then when I figure out how to use this, I'll do it.
All right. Well, did you actually vote for the agenda in the minutes?
Yes, I did.
And we'll count your
And
vote.
I even said I was here, but I guess you guys, I said I was present and accounted for, and I guess I wasn't.
All right. So we have 8 members present. How about David or Jonathan? Either of you join the call? All right. So remember, if you are using the GoToMeeting function, the default is to be muted. And on the control panel in the upper left corner, you'll see a microphone. If the microphone is red, you just need to click it. It'll turn green. Green is on, red is off. Best to leave it off except when you're speaking because they are highly sensitive, especially the VoIP and the computers, to background noise. It works best with a headset, which is what I'm using. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started. The first comment was it's on the first page of your file. It's energy comment number one by Jeff Sony. Jeff Sunny from FSEC. Jeff, take it away.
Thank you. This is Jeff Sunny from FSEC, and I won't go through the entire comment unless there are questions, except to note that as the rationale states, this will be very helpful for code calculations, and the change from the February meetings version is an exception for guest suites, which was added to address Florida Home Builder Association concerns, and we appreciate their input.
Right. Thank you, Jeff. Anybody from the public wish to speak in favor?
Joe Belcher, FHVA, in favor as amended.
Very good. Anybody else? Anybody in opposition? All right. Hearing none, is there a motion to recommend approval of this of the comment?
This is Drew. Motion to approve.
All right.
Second, Toshell.
A motion from Drew and Bob, respectively. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous on an 8-0 vote. Okay, let's move on to comment number two, also by Jeff Sunny at FSEC, which is found on page 2 of the document. Go ahead, Jeff.
Jeff Sunny at FSEC, and as the rationale states for this one, table C404.2 comments are intended to clarify several of the entries and also correct several category and subcategory entries and footnotes. And just to note that the PDF version that's linked separately is the correct version.
Right, that's a separate comment that was just a table, and it corrects that. Very good, thanks for pointing that out. Okay, anybody in the public wish to speak in support?
Thank you.
Anybody in opposition? All right, coming back to the TAC, is there a motion to recommend approval for the comment?
Motion to approve, Smith.
Rochelle, second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous on an 8-0 vote. Okay, comment number three, found on page 4, also by Jeff Sunny of FSEC. Jeff?
Jeff Sunny, representing Florida Solar Energy Center. A question came up regarding the correction reference for these two tables footnotes, and it's now been confirmed with the ICC that R404.1 was intended here instead of R405.1.
Okay. Anybody if the public wish to speak in favor?
Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards, speaking in support of this change. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody in opposition? Coming back to the TAC, is there a motion to recommend approval?
Smith, motion to approve.
Second, Koschel.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous on an 8-0 vote in support. Comment number four will also be heard this afternoon by the electrical TAC, but now it's before the energy TAC. Mr. Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builder Association. Joe, take her away.
Okay. This changes to prohibit the adoption of a ASHRAE 90.1 provision requiring energy monitoring in buildings over 25,000 square feet. As you can see in the rationale, it's a very expensive proposition. I had an electrical engineer, Joe Torito, who is an electrical TAC member, report that on one of his projects, the cost for the system itself, the equipment, was $40,000. I had another electrical engineer, Jerry Solar, who I don't know if these gentlemen are on the call. They said they might be. I know they will be on the commission call. And I actually quoted Jerry Solar's email. The software to regulate such a system was $35,000. Both of these people are electrical engineers that stand to make money on these projects, but they both feel that they are just totally non-energy conserving. They actually use energy. They don't do anything to save energy. They monitor the energy. You have to have equipment to monitor it. You have to have people to operate the system, maintenance on the system that goes on, and it goes on and on. You can read Jerry Solar's email. He goes quite in depth into the cost and the lack of heat for these systems. This is just one of those things that the code should not be requiring. If a building owner wants to monitor his energy, we have guidance in the code for them to be able to do that, but we should not be mandating it. This is not save energy. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else wish to speak in favor of the comment? Okay, anybody wish to speak in opposition?
Yes, good morning. Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards, speaking in opposition. The best way to describe the importance and benefit of energy monitoring is to use an analogy. Driving your car, how do you know how fast you're going? How do you know how much gasoline you have left in the tank? How do you know when you have a tire going flat or when you need to change the oil? It's pretty simple. We have a very complicated system within an automobile, lots of different systems that are critical for operation. They sensor and monitor those and report that back to you through your dashboard control panel. Clearly, that allows you to make decisions and change your behavior. If you're going too fast, you can slow down. If you get gas, you can pull over and do that. However, if those systems were not monitored, you would not know to be able to do that. So if we convert that over now to a large building, we say over 25,000 square foot buildings, these are very complicated electromechanical systems that consume a lot of energy. The only way for the owner to have the power and react and respond to inordinate use of energy is to monitor those systems, just like we do with an automobile. Consider it continuous commissioning. Once the project is CO'd, that is intended to last the life. The systems are intended to last the life of the building. And in order for that building owner to understand how much is being used amongst five different segregated systems, information is reported back to them so they can act, they can schedule maintenance, so that they can find faults or diagnose problems within the system that's reducing energy. In the end, my concern is that it's one thing for the TAC and the commission to not accept above code amendments. I understand that. I can also understand if you guys do not want to accept 2018 ECC changes to the code. This is not that. This is reverting the state of Florida back 10 years. This has been an ASHRAE 90.1 since the 2010 edition. It's been reaffirmed with every addendum since then. It is also now being added to the 2021 IECC as a mandatory requirement. The entire nation is moving the other way when it comes to making buildings smart through building management systems.
Brian, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you, sir. Florida would be the only state in the nation that would amend this out of the ASHRAE requirement. And just keep in mind, C401 Option number two and option number three still point you back to this requirement if you use the other two options. It would only apply to design professionals that or building owners that choose the ASHRAE path. This is a bad move. Please do not move the state backwards on this important energy provision. Thank you.
Thank you. Exactly 3 minutes. Well done. All right. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? All right. Mr. Belcher, as the proponent, would you like a rebuttal opportunity?
Brief rebuttal. The automobile analogy is very nice. Thank you, Brian. But, you know, if you run out of gas and your gas gauge isn't working, you run out of gas, the car stops working. You know you got to do something. If you've got a motor or you got something suddenly using a lot of energy, it's going to show in your bill. You will be looking at. You don't need to have a $100,000 system to tell you that. This is money that is just really being put in a building for no real good purpose. Again, if the building owner wants to have this system in the building, they can do that. I don't see anybody jumping at it, but that's why these forces or these people try to mandate these kinds of things in the code. Thank you.
All right. Brian, would you like your rebuttal opportunity?
Sure. Thank you. Brian Pollack from the Codes and Standards. I agree 100% with everything that Mr. Belcher just stated. Absolutely 100%. And that's why we have five exceptions. This won't apply to anything under 25,000 square feet. It doesn't apply to anything under 10,000 square feet for individual tenant spaces. It does not apply to dwellings. It does not apply to residential building that doesn't have a 10,000 square foot common area. And it doesn't apply to critical equipment of healthcare facilities. The ASHRAE committee already took all those into consideration, the buildings that would not benefit. This is case study that clearly indicates the buildings that would most benefit from the energy monitoring system because the systems are so complex and in depth, it's impossible to determine where the energy usage is being by your electric bill. It segregates out five different systems so the owner can act and determine what the problem is at a particular point and restore energy conservation that was promised to them in their energy counts. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So that concludes the public comment. I'm going to go to the TAC now. Does any TAC member wish to make a recommendation to approve the comment?
So shall. I'll recommend to approve.
All right. Is there a second?
Jeff, will you clarify what we're approving?
So the comment that what you'd be approving is Mr. Belcher's comment, which would, as he described, not make this a requirement in the sections that he has offered in red text.
This is Mo Megani. Let me clarify something here. It's really what you're doing. You're making a change to an option that's listed under C401.2 when you use ASHRAE 90.1 as an option for compliance with energy. This saying that when you use that option, the monitoring aspect is not required. So that's all what you're doing at this point. You excluding section 8.4.3 from the option for ASHRAE compliance. You know, the code allow for three options to comply. It allows that a designer to use directly ASHRAE 90.1 as method of compliance. Another option is the performance compliance method, which is listed in the code, which comes from the International Energy Conservation Code, and the prescriptive compliance method. So this is only would apply to ASHRAE 90.1 method.
Thank you, Mo.
This is Scott Wright. Could I ask one more clarification?
Sure.
Which route do most Florida builders choose to use?
A lot of builders, it's varied, but we know a lot of the builders use the performance compliance method, which is in the code. But also, I think I would maybe the Florida Solar Energy Center. I know Jeff Sony is on the phone. I wonder. I know they use energy gauge program for the calculation. Do you know, Jeff, the percentage there? How many use ASHRAE 90.1 and how many use the other pump method?
Jeff?
Jeff, are you there? He's in here, probably loaded.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. This is Jeff.
Drew,
and unfortunately, I don't know on the commercial side. I'd have to look that up, so I don't know offhand. Sorry.
Drew, what's your perspective? You're, in the business and we're a builder.
We see quite a bit using the performance method, and just to add a little bit there, we do see some of these automation systems, but it's totally by choice, and it's typically if they're going for a LEED certification, they'll add a system like that. We see it mostly just on the air conditioning side. We don't really see it on the electrical or the rest of the energy management. So we see a lot of very sophisticated mechanical systems with full automation software in place, which is really the biggest area that you really need that read where, in other words, if a motor is going bad, the software will tell you that much quicker. So I agree with Brian on that part of the perspective, but we're not seeing, even on very sophisticated buildings, even going for a very high sustainability certification where they're actually going for a full energy management software. So I see there's a lot of individuals and developers that are actually using it on the mechanical side, but not really on the rest of it. So I think at this point, leaving it as a choice would be the best option, just because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of additional assistance that a building owner can get out of the rest of it. I agree with the mechanical portion of it, but not for a full-blown system. Thank you.
So we're still looking for a second.
I'll second it. This is Drew.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Chris. All right, so any further discussion on the motion?
Yeah, this is Scott, right? My wrestling match is if the builder has other options, and this is in the ASHRAE standard, and that's the ASHRAE option of code compliance. As much as I don't like being told what I have to do, if it's part of ASHRAE standard, if a builder chooses that, they know what they're getting in advance. And if they don't like it, they can go with the performance path.
Yes, this is Roger Sanders.
Go ahead, Roger.
I think you should leave as many options in the code as you can, rather than delete one out because they are afraid to be expensive, and leave that up to the owner to just determine whether he wants to use that or the performance method.
Hey, this is Mama Donnie. Let me ask Joe. Joe.
Thank you, Mo. Roger, that is exactly what my change does. It leaves it as an option. Right now, with the code, it would be a mandate. You'd have to do this, whether you want to do it or not. So,
I think Joe, Mo wanted to ask you a question. Mo, go ahead.
Okay. This really, what it says is that if you use the other two options, the performance and the prescriptive, well, you would have to comply with ASHRAE section. Still, because really there is a reference to ASHRAE 90.1 from within the code, which is really section C405.6, electrical power. It says applicability. This section applies to all building power distribution system. The provision for electric distribution for all sections of this code are subject to the design condition of ASHRAE standard 90.1. So now if you use if you are gonna, regardless of use option one or option two or option three, ASHRAE 90.1, the performance and all that, you still have to comply with this section. What Joe's doing is saying, hey, you know, I'm going to exclude this monitoring section from ASHRAE 90, if you're only using ASHRAE 90.1 as a method of compliance. So that's my understanding. Am I correct, Joe?
Mostly, yes. Mostly. I was surprised that the FSEC didn't have this information. I have been advised, and I'm not a big researcher into this type of question, but I've been advised that quite a large number of the larger commercial buildings use ASHRAE 90.1 for compliance. So that's part of where this change was coming from. Yes, and what I'm saying is if you use ASHRAE 90.1, you don't have to do this. Now, on the other part of it, where the other section 40561 calls for compliance with ASHRAE, in my opinion, this would become a specific section that we're changing here, which would override that general section that you have to comply with ASHRAE, because this is specifically applying to certain systems. We do have a comment on this meeting that actually asked for an exception there at 40561, and I intend to provide to respond to that at that point, and I intend to put a change in tomorrow for the commission's consideration to do what that gentleman asked us to do. So,
are you saying that because you're excluding this section from method one, that would also apply to the general requirement in C405.6.1?
I believe so, yes.
I think if you want to do that, you need to revise the standard itself, meaning that you need to go to chapter that's referenced to standard and put an exclusion of that section in there. Otherwise, you're not doing that.
So what Mo's saying, Joe, is that whether you use the performance or the prescriptive method, you're still going to be drawn back to this requirement unless you do what you're suggesting here.
If you wanted to exclude it from the standard, ASHRAE 90.1 for all the methods, you need to go either to section C405.6.1 and put an exception there, or you want to go to the standard reference, for ASHRAE 90.1 and put an exclusion there, except section blah, blah, because we already have done that for other sections. So you have to do it from the standard. You cannot do it from option one and say, yeah, this will apply to the remaining. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, and I had planned to put in a change to put that exclusion at 405.6.1. The reason that I've kept using this section is that's where we did it when the statutory mandate came about. So I thought we had already done it once in this section, so we just kept using that. I kept using that section. But I will do that. I'll be submitting a change to extend this exception to C405.6.1.
Yeah, because when I did it for the legislative mandate, I put it in both places. I put it in method one, and I put it in the reference standard section.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
So you still want to get this part of it approved, is that correct?
I would like to see this approved, and then I will, and with the commitment that I will be making that change to C405.6.1. And for Roger Sanders' question or issue, this would still allow a building owner to select this. It's not just, we would not be mandating it for every building over 25,000 square feet.
All right.
That wants to use ASHRAE.
Okay, so tax members, are you clear on what this actually does and what the requirements actually are? What Mo is saying that is whether you use the performance or prescriptive method, it's still going to bring you back to ASHRAE 90.1. And without this exception here, you will be required to do this. So that's kind of the message. Further discussion.
Yep. Jeff, I have one more question. Scott Rank?
Go ahead, Scott.
What does anybody know what the five systems are that this requires you to monitor?
I can read them for you. It says, measurement devices shall be installed in a new building to monitor the electrical energy use for each of the following separate total electrical energy, HVAC system, interior lighting, exterior lighting, receptacle circuit.
Thank you.
You're
all right. Further discussion. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call the vote here and see if you want to vote in favor of Mr. Belcher's amendment, which would be to provide this exclusion. I'm going to just do it by name. Drew Smith, yes or no for the amendment?
Yes.
Kelly Smith Burke, yes or no?
Yes.
Commissioner Kaya, yes or no? Oscar? Are you muted, Oscar? All right. Bob Koschel, yes or no?
Yes.
Young Geislers, yes or no?
Yes.
Tim Grabowski, yes or no?
Yes.
Scott Rank, yes or no? I'm sorry,
yes.
So, Jonathan, you're still not on the phone, I'm taking it. Okay. Roger Sanders, yes or no?
Yes.
And I guess, David, you're still not on the phone? All right, what about Bob, Oscar? Are you back on the call, Oscar? Take a quick look here and see if he's still listed.
Yes, he's listed.
I don't see his name anymore.
Yeah,
he's Oscar, are you on mute? I'm just looking real quick. Well, anyway, it's unanimous in favor on a vote of seven to zero. So that settles that. All right, let's go on to the next one. Let's see, energy tax 7-0, and that's with the understanding that there would be a change to C405.6.1 forthcoming. All right, comment number 5, found on page 8, submitted by Joe Easy from the Florida Natural Gas Association. Joe?
Thank you. I'm going to use the full 3 minutes. Joe Easy, representing the Florida Natural Gas Association, a trade association representing 40 publicly and privately owned natural gas distribution systems across the state. I just wanted to start off by thanking Mo for providing guidance for submitting comments through this process, not through the BCIS system, and also wanted to thank staff for marching on today and for adopting technology 10 years ago, you know, uniquely preparing us for our current situation, which has allowed us to make our case today. So the modification I'm opposing was essentially approved during step one, largely due to my inability to articulate an opposition argument against it at the time, largely because I did not anticipate this mod being included in step one as having met the legislatively defined criteria, but as we all learned, each TAC interpreted those criteria slightly different. Although I failed to make the argument against this modification in step one, I did not fail to make the argument in step two. This same modification that was passed in step one was also proposed by BOAF during step two as part of their, I believe, catch-all attempt to preserve the 2018 base code mod. An effort which, by the way, we commend them for doing and also appreciate their relentless commitment to Florida's code improvement. So to be clear, our opposition arguments are not directed at BOAF, but because it was proposed by BOAF, as part of step two, we got another shot at opposing the substance of what this modification really does. You may recall the argument I had made during step two about CHP. I spoke about how CHP, combined heat power systems, are technologies that can simultaneously produce electricity and then capture the waste heat associated with that production and then apply it back into the building in the form of useful thermal energy, which in turn can be used for countless end-use applications in commercial buildings, such as process heating, sanitizing, cleaning, laundry, cooking, water heating, space heating, dehumidification, and even space cooling. Combined heat and power systems increase a building's resiliency by producing on-site electricity. They boost total system efficiency by capturing waste heat and putting it back to work in the building. And the idea that the Florida Code should somehow discourage this is something I believe we should not let happen. Both the Department of Energy and the EPA are proponents of CHP and even offer resources to help facilitate CHP in the state of Florida. Now, again, this is not my first time making this argument. I made it in step two, perhaps was too effective in doing so because you may recall BOAF had withdrawn their proposal that we were opposing in step two. In hindsight, I should have stopped them. Thank you. In hindsight, because that was withdrawn, no TAC action was taken. So the argument I made in step two was not voted on because the proponent withdrew the withdrawal. Withdrew the modification, so the action from step one stands. So what I'm asking you now is vote how you would have voted during step two had the modification not been withdrawn, and I'm asking you to approve this comment as submitted. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Anybody else wish to speak in favor?
Joe Belcher, FHVA in support.
All right, anybody else? Anybody in opposition? All right, coming back to the TAC, is there a motion to recommend approval?
Smith, motion.
Rank, I'll make a motion.
We have Smith and Drew and Rank on the motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Oscar, are you back on the call?
I should be.
All right. So that it's,
can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Did you vote on the previous one, Mr. Belcher's one?
Yes, I voted in favor. Yes.
All right, so the vote should be 8-0 on that and 8-0 on this. Okay, let's move on to the next comment, comment number 6, which is found on page 9 of the document, submitted by Michael Hall from Eco Preserve. Yes?
Jeff, this is Mo Medani. I think pretty. This is a general comment was really given to us after the TAC took up the subject of the AV issue, which was voted down. The comment came in after the fact, and this is a general comment. Was, you know, we promised that we'll make it part of this meeting, so I would say just there is a general comment. So I'll leave it to you what you want to do with it.
All right. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this?
Just request Joe Belcher, FHVA, requesting no action.
All right. Who else?
Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards. Just some food for thought for the TAC. When this was presented to the Building Commission, there were 13 different stakeholders approached the dais and spoke to why they believed EV-ready provisions were necessary in the Florida Building Code. This included industry like NEMA and FSEC. It also included the two largest jurisdictions in Florida, Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Only one or two persons got up to speak against it, and it didn't even impact their industry that they represented. So I just want you to keep that in thought when you consider all these other proposals that are being stakeholder input to you guys, and you're not responding the way that the industry is asking you to do. Thank you.
All right, anybody else wish to comment from the public? All right, coming back to the TAC, does any TAC member wish to take an action, or do you want to go with NAR? Does anybody wish to make a motion? All right.
Rank NAR.
Okay.
I go for the.
All right, so there's no motion, so it gets an NAR. We move on to the next one, which is comment number 7, found on page 11, submitted by Timothy Truen of Fort Pierce Engineering. Is Timothy Truen on the phone? Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this?
Joe Belcher, FHVA. This is the one that I was alluding to that somebody had submitted. I think this is a general comment because it doesn't really give a code change. This is the one I will be acting on to submit a change to C405.6.1 so that we can address those ASHRAE issues we talked about earlier. Thank you. This is already handled by Joe's early code change to ASHRAE 90.1 method 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anybody else in the public, then coming back to the TAC, does any TAC member wish to take an action or just go with NAR?
NAR.
No motion, we'll go with NAR. All right, is there that that's all the comments. Is there any other comment from the public or the TAC? If not, I'm going to conduct a second roll call, and then I'm going to ask Drew to adjourn the meeting by stating we stand adjourned. All right. Drew Smith, are you back? Are you still here?
I'm here.
Kelly Smith Burke.
I'm here.
Oscar Kaya.
Still here.
Bob Cushell. Bob. Jan Geislers.
Here.
Tim Grabowski.
Here.
Scott Rank.
Here.
Roger Sanders.
I'm still here.
And Bob, are you still on the phone?
Bob is here.
Bob is here. Okay, we have the same aid as we had previously. All right, Drew, go ahead and join us, please, sir.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, for running a good meeting. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Let's adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Thank you all. Be safe.